On this Palm Sunday, as we approach the Easter weekend, I wonder if you feel detached and distant from the events of the Easter season, from the death, burial and resurrection of Christ. You might think, well, you know, that was a long time ago. What's it got to do with today? What have the events of 2,000 years ago got to do with April 2020? What have the dusty streets of Jerusalem got to do with high-tech West Michigan? Or maybe it's not so much a time distance you feel, but a personal distance. You are hearing and reading about the death, burial and resurrection of Christ, but you think, what's that got to do with me? My death, burial and resurrection, how are they connected? In a world of lockdowns and TikTok, what does a dying, bleeding, bruised body hanging in a tree outside Jerusalem have to do with me? Well, I want to help you close that gap today. I want you to feel connected to the events of Easter. I want to close the gap to zero. I want to, with the help of God's word, put you there on Palm Sunday, Easter Friday, Easter Saturday, Easter Sunday. And we want to do that using these words in Colossians, because the apostle uses words here that help the Colossians connect with the time and with the person of Easter. Even though the distance between them was much shorter, both in miles and years, yet it would appear there's always that danger of disconnect and detachment and looking on these events as a spectator. And what Paul does here is he helps the Colossians and he helps us become participants in these events. Remember, the church here was invaded by heretics called Gnostics, and their main idea that they were perpetrating was Christ is not enough. You need something more. And if you might remember from a couple of weeks ago, we saw in verses 8 through 10, we are complete in Christ. If we have Christ, we have enough. Christ is more than enough, and therefore if we have Christ, we have more than enough. And the apostle goes on to show how complete we are in Christ by focusing in on how the Christian is united to Christ. The Christian is in Christ, in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. That's what we want to look at today. We want to see, first of all, how we as Christians died in Christ. And we see that in the language of verse 11, which says, in him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by the putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. I want to think about that little phrase, the circumcision of Christ. This is not referring to Christ's circumcision at 8 days old. There was a ceremony that all 8-day-old Jewish boys went through where they had a small piece of skin cut off their body and cast aside to die. It was a badge of membership. It was the way a Jewish boy became a member of the covenant community of God. And Christ himself went through that. But that's not what this is speaking of here. It's not speaking of Christ's circumcision as an 8-day-old boy. It's speaking of Christ's circumcision as a 33-year-old man. What do we mean by that? Well, the apostle is using the literal, physical circumcision of Christ as a picture of a far bigger circumcision, a far greater circumcision. A circumcision involves a cutting off and a casting aside. And Paul is telling us here that that's a way of viewing Christ's death, as a circumcision, as a cutting off and a casting aside, not of just one little piece of flesh, but of his whole body. It was a whole body circumcision. He was cut off and cast aside to die. He was circumcised in that sense. He was crucified. But the apostle then tells us a remarkable thing. It's not just Christ was circumcised, cut off and cast aside, but we, believers, were circumcised in Christ. In him, he says, also you were circumcised in him. And what Paul's doing here is he's saying, by faith, you are united to the Christ of the cross, the Christ of the crucifixion, the Christ of this circumcision. He's saying, you are so perfectly united to him that you are viewed as being present there when this happened. Actually there. Participating in this event. He so perfectly represented his people that his people are viewed as present when he was circumcised and in his circumcision. It says, in him also you were circumcised. So if we were there at the cross, with our physical eyes, we would look and we would see one circumcision taking place, a physical circumcision, a physical cutting off and a casting aside, Christ's body being cut apart from his soul, as it were, Christ being cut off from God, and that's what we would see with our physical eyes. But the apostle's saying now, yes, you and I see that now, with the eyes of faith, see this. See that there wasn't just one circumcision happening there. There were multiple circumcisions happening there. You, he says, were circumcised in him. The eyes of faith see ourselves going through that same punishment for sin, that cutting off, that casting aside, that being punished with death in Christ. That's why he calls it a circumcision made without hands. It's a spiritual thing. It's not we weren't physically there, but we were spiritually there. We were viewed as there. It's a circumcision made without hands. It's not that we went through this physical violent death, but that Christ did, and we were regarded as going through that with him. He calls it a putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. Look at the language here. He says, by putting off the body of the flesh. This is what Christ did. He bore in his own body our sins on the tree, and that body was put off and punished with death for our sins. He's saying, here's a far greater circumcision than any Jew circumcision. A far greater circumcision than Christ's 8-day-old circumcision. A far greater circumcision even than Christ's circumcision on the cross has been cut off. This is a circumcision. This is a cutting off and a casting aside of all the elect, all of God's people. So we often look at Christ's death as a spectator. We look on these events. from afar, as detached and distant. And what Paul is saying is, get in the frame yourself. You're in this picture. You are in this yourself. You are taking part. You're a participant. You're effectively there. So when we think of the cross, yes, we see Christ suffering in our place. That's a wonderful truth, isn't it? He's suffering in our place. He's suffering being cut off and cast off. He's suffering being cut off and cast off even from his Father. So that we who are God's people may be close in communion with God. That's a wonderful truth. He suffered in our place, but I don't know, this might even be a more wonderful truth. Not just that he suffered in our place, but we suffered in him. We are regarded as suffering with him, there and then. Can you see that? I mean, if you're not a believer, you're not there. You are just a spectator. You are just an onlooker. It's just a distant story. There's still an awful cutting off and a casting aside to come. Not just cut off and cast aside in life, but for all eternity. And it's not necessary. It doesn't have to be that way. This story can become your personal story too by faith. Unite yourself to Christ by faith and this story becomes yours. You are viewed as having passed through this yourself. One commentator said this, Christ's death was so effectively for us that it was our death. He died in our place so truly that when he died, we died. You died, believer, 2,000 years ago. And that's your salvation. With these physical eyes, we look at the cross and we see a terrible murder. But with the eyes of faith, we see a wonderful massacre. A massacre in the sense of it being a mass killing, a mass dying. But wonderful in the sense of it's our salvation. Can you see that with the eyes of faith? Just pause and think about that. Let's just take a few seconds. Get these eyes of faith working. Can you see yourself on that cross? Enduring that death. Being cut off. Being cast aside. Circumcised with the circumcision of Christ. I died 2,000 years ago. Well, you might ask, if I died in Christ, am I also buried with Christ? Is that still part of my story? And that's where the apostle goes next. He says here, having been buried with him in baptism. Having been buried with him in baptism. So Christ was buried. That was the proof of his death. He really died, proven by his time in the grave. But again, the apostle doesn't stop there. He's anxious, as it were, to move past the historical narrative and get to the spiritual narrative. To move past the one and get to the many. to move past Christ and bring Christians into Christ and see again, this isn't a tomb that we visit as tourists. It's a tomb that we once were in, that we once lay in. We were buried with him in baptism. Now, the word baptism can have a number of meanings. The root of it, the B-A-P-T, it can have figurative or literal meanings. So it's used long before there was any religious rite of baptism. The B-A-P-T words were used in Greek for a figurative meaning like being engulfed or being overwhelmed. And they were also used in a literal sense for either washing or dipping. And so we're wanting to ask here, how is Paul using it? Is he using it in the figurative sense or is he using it in the literal sense? Well, remember in the previous verse we saw circumcision had a figurative meaning. And therefore, it's far more likely that baptism here will also have the figurative meaning. So it's not really anything to do with water, literal water, washing or dipping. It's more to do with this figurative engulfing and overwhelming. And so when we read this, we could read it like this, having been buried with him in the overwhelming engulfing. Which is an interesting way to look at it because it fits also with Mark 10:28-29 when Jesus said to his disciples, he asked them, can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with? He's not talking there about a future washing or dipping. He's saying, can you be engulfed with the engulfing that I'm about to be engulfed with? Speaking, yes, of his death, but especially of his burial. And he predicts that they too will be engulfed. They too will be overwhelmed eventually. So what does this mean then when we read it? Having been buried with him in baptism, it's saying we participated in his entombment, in his burial. It's not that our participation ended when Christ was taken off the cross. No, when he was cast into that tomb, we were there too, he's saying. We were buried with him. And so, believer, I want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge you to read the Easter narrative this week in a much more personal way. See yourself in every verse. See yourself on the road into Jerusalem. See yourself in the garden of Gethsemane. See yourself in the court. See yourself condemned. See yourself sentenced to death. See yourself nailed to the cross. See yourself suffering the punishment due to sin. See yourself buried in the tomb. That's our hope of salvation. That's what we deserve. We deserve to go through that suffering for our sins, but by faith we are viewed as having gone through it. Even being buried. You ask yourself maybe, how did Christ view his body in the tomb? So he's died, his soul has gone to heaven, and his body is resting there. And as he looked down from heaven at that body, what did he see? Well, of course, he saw his own precious flesh and blood, a body that he treasured and that he missed. They wanted to be reunited with again. As anyone with a body separated from his soul would be. He wanted that full connection again. This was a precious body to him. It was the body his father had prepared for him. It was a body that the Holy Spirit had conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. It was a body that had suffered so much through life and had done so much good. A body that had endured the pains of hell. A body that was going to be glorified. He loved that body, his personal body. He looked down on it with longing and he couldn't wait to occupy it with his soul again. But he saw more than his body. He saw his people. He saw every single one of his people there. He knew that we were buried with him in this overwhelming, this engulfing, this entombing. And as he looked down, he saw the multitude greater than any man could number under the penalty of death. In him. And he couldn't wait to raise that up again. So again, with the eyes of saints, we were present there. We, in that tomb, we would see a lonely grave. But with the eyes of faith, we see a mass grave. By the eyes of faith, we see our own grave. We see, we were buried 2,000 years ago. Well, if I died and was buried with Christ, was I resurrected with him too? Well, that's where the apostle goes next. In him also you were circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. So he's pointing here again, as he did to Christ's circumcision, then ours, Christ's burial, then ours. Now he's pointing to Christ's resurrection, then ours. Christ's resurrection is the proof of his having paid the price, suffered the whole penalty, exhausted it, put it behind him, and now free. And we'll look more closely at Christ's resurrection, God willing, next Lord's Day. But let's again think of, we were raised with Christ, it says, in which you were also raised with him. Again, we want to think about this. We were with him on Easter Friday on the cross. We were with him on Easter Saturday in the tomb. But we were also with him on Easter Sunday in the garden. Raised with him. Faith unites us to Christ so perfectly, so completely, that we are regarded as having been raised again with him at that time. He has new life here. He leaves death behind. A new life begins. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior. Waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain. He lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. But sing it again. And put your own name in there. That transforms this. This is our own biography. Our Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus rose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and our life began. That's when our life began. In Christ, believer, you conquered sin. You conquered death. You conquered guilt. You conquered the grave. You conquered the devil in Christ. Faith puts you with him in that victory. What assurance that should give you. You should never doubt your salvation if you're putting your faith in this Christ. You should never doubt sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven if your faith is in this Christ. Doubting that is doubting his victory. It's doubting whether he left death behind and began a new life with you. Take this, live this, believe this, receive this, unite to it in faith. If you're a believer, if you're not a believer, you're not here. You can be. I hope you will yet be. But if you're not following Christ by faith, you're still a spectator. You're still just a reader of this narrative. And beautiful and glorious though it is, it's not helpful to you, ultimately. And so this calls you to faith in Christ so that his death becomes your death, his burial your burial, his resurrection your resurrection. Without it, you have no victory ahead. It's only more death, more defeat. You'll be buried not just under the earth, but under the wrath of God. Buried not just for 3 days, but for eternity. An everlasting existence of death. It's so not necessary. It's so avoidable. Even today, by believing in Christ, by going out to him with your heart and putting your trust in him, this can all just completely change. And the Easter narrative that to you, maybe at the moment, is a boring story you've heard a million times, it will come alive in a whole new way. You'll see yourself in every word, in every line, in every activity. Put yourself there by faith in Christ. I don't know, maybe I could illustrate this for the children. We sometimes hear of a heroic act. Or somebody does something and we look at it and we say, man, I wish I'd done that. Maybe a sports person or maybe a business person makes a great business or an inventor that makes a great invention. Say somebody finds a cure for the coronavirus, I think that's going to be a great day. For myself, I've always had a great fascination for special forces. In the UK, it was the SAS. Over here, the SEALs, say, for example, SEAL Team 6. Often think, man, I'd love to have been a SEAL. I know, dream on, but we're allowed to dream. Especially I've been fascinated by the capture and killing of Osama bin Laden. Man, wouldn't you have loved to have done that? Executed that justice on that evil man. But then the more I read about it, the more I realized, wow, there were decades of training in this, years of pain preparing for this, all the endurance, all the suffering, blood, sweat, tears, agony. And even in that moment, terrible risk of injury, death. And even afterwards, for some of those involved, there's been a lot of trauma, post-traumatic stress. I think, well, I'm not so sure I want that. I'd love the glory. I'd love the achievement. But I don't want the pain before, during, or after. But what the gospel tells us is, you can have the glory without the pain. You can have the achievement without the stress. All that Christ did and accomplished, he says, have it. It's yours. You don't need to do a thing. You don't need to suffer one pain. This completely changes our lives. Imagine that. The most heroic event, achievement, accomplishment ever can be yours for doing nothing. I mean, we would all love surely to be that SEAL Team 6 without the before, the during, and the after. And this is what the gospel offers. This is what union with Christ means. His accomplishment is yours. Pause and think about that. As he walks out of that tomb on Easter Sunday morning, you're there with him. Yes, Christ's death, resurrection can feel very far away, very distant, very detached, but it needn't be. By faith, we can close that gap. By faith, we can connect with this. By faith, we can reduce the gap to 0 meters and 0 seconds. Believe you died, were buried, and rose again with Christ, and you'll enjoy a personal, intimate experience of Easter that you've never experienced before. And the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath till that stone was rolled away, for the Lamb had conquered death, and the dead rose from their tombs. And the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel and shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom, I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.